This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
305 DGS. So the big news, obviously, is for the first time in American history, a former president has had a search warrant executed against them with armed FBI agents, dozens of them, and going into his private residence, his bedroom, and cracking his safe. And we have Chet Pleben on here to talk about it. Trish just asked me off the air, like, hey, what do you really think about it? And I said, I'll say it on the air. My first reaction was disgust. At people at both sides of the aisle politically, that immediately conservatives knew that this is fascism and there's a witch hunt and there's nothing to it. No, you don't. Shut up. Sit down. And people on the left immediately knew that Trump's going to jail and he's selling secrets to China. No, you don't know that. Shut up. Sit down. No one really knows except for Trump and maybe a few other people and maybe some of the FBI agents. It just, like, you feel me? It, like, anytime something like this happens and immediately people know what happened, no, you don't. And you just look foolish when you say that. No one knows. I asked Rach earlier in the office, like, what do you think? And she said, I don't know. I don't know what no one knows yet what it's going to be. So that's my first reaction. My second reaction, which I'll dovetail into Chet here, is last night I saw Andy McCabe, who is certainly no friend to Donald Trump, say, if this really is just about the handling of presidential archives, like what should go in the Trump library and what should be in the Library of Congress, this was a huge overreach. It never should have happened. This is crazy. So he thinks it must be something bigger than that. That's my opinion, too, that if this really is about non-classified, just sort of, you know, hey, dude, you shouldn't have taken that. That should be in the Library of Congress. Then it's terrible to raid a former president's home. Embarrassing, humiliating for him and the country, which, Chet, leads me to believe maybe there's more than smoke there. What do you think?
I do. I don't think it's simply about the Presidential Records Act. To execute a search warrant on the former on the home of a former president of the United States is a really, really big deal. And in order to get that search warrant, you have to have some type of probable cause that there is evidence of a crime at that location of that former president. You could have done it by a subpoena, which, you know, a subpoena and a search warrant aren't mutually exclusive. But you could have done it the easy way. You could have served him with a subpoena and you could have said, OK, bring the documents to such and such location at such and such a time. That's if you trusted him to do that. I think where this got off track a little bit is that I don't think that they trusted him. And I don't think that they trusted him because, A, he parted with some 15 boxes worth of documents that some of which were labeled as top secret. And they found top secret documents in those 15 boxes. Now that's in January. So here you are, they're still going around saying, well, wait a minute, we think you have more. I think that there was a meeting that the agents had with a couple of Trump's lawyers at Mar-a-Lago. And they showed him, I believe, the reporting is, some other documents. And so I think that raised their concerns that we need those documents back. We've asked him for the documents back. We're not sure he was totally candid with us when he said that, you know, he was giving us all of the documents, if indeed that's what he said. And secondly, during the period of time, recall that when he was actually in the White House, he was destroying documents, classified documents. You know, the reporting was that he was ripping them up. The reporting was that some of his aides would tape them back together again and surrender them and tell him, you can't do that. John Kelly, for example, told him, you can't just destroy and tear up these documents. Rance Priebus told him the same thing. You can't destroy these documents. So he was well aware that you could not do anything that caused any sort of destruction or any sort of mutilation or any concealment of any documents, whether classified or unclassified, that belong to the United States of America and belong to the people of this particular country. So I think what happened here was they executed the search warrant, I think, because of a concern that he was going to destroy or conceal some additional documents. Now, the presidential, I couldn't find many teeth in the Presidential Records Act. I mean, okay, you know, all of his documents and emails and all that sort of letters, texts, you know, are supposed to be turned over to the archives. Okay, I get that. But, and that's classified and non-classified. But when you start destroying documents, that's when the statutes and that's when everybody gets all excited. You're destroying, whether they be classified or documents that belong to the people, non-classified, that's a big deal. And not only is it a big deal from the standpoint that it makes it a felony offense if you do during that knowingly, willingly, and unlawfully, which I believe that they can probably show that he was, but it also, that statute, 2017, 18 U.S. Code, which is a criminal code, disqualifies you from holding any additional public office of the United States. So it's a very big deal. And then when you add in the classified material, I think that exacerbates the problem. And you can bet your every nickel that you will make on KMOX from here to eternity, Dave, that the highest level of the Department of Justice were made the decision to go hit that house with a search warrant as opposed to simply serving him with a subpoena.
So I have a question, and I know, I'm going to ask you guys to speculate, and that's what we're saying people shouldn't do. But when you classify or unclassify these documents that need to be archived, I mean, they could be anything from the minutes to a meeting that nobody cares about, right? To secrets, foreign secrets to it. I mean, it would have to be a pretty big deal to do this, to get these documents back. I mean, they're not going to raid his home for, again, meetings to a minute that nobody...
What was the menu when you met with somebody?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. So they... Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I would think that they have information. Understand this, that in order to get a search warrant, you have to go to a federal judge, and usually it's a magistrate judge, and you have to tell them in an affidavit form. The agents will fill out an affidavit. You have to tell that judge what it is, what probable cause you have to believe that something is there that is evidence of criminal activity and criminal behavior. And so it's just not, we want to wander through Mar-a-Lago because we want to see what it looks like. And we want to kind of take a look around and see what Trump's doing these days. It's pretty serious stuff. And I guarantee you that at the highest levels of DOJ, including Merrick Garland, they dotted every I and they crossed every T. And they knew, whether it be from an inside source or whether it be from somebody else that knows exactly what's in there. So this wasn't some fishing expedition that they were conducting. They knew because understand that let's say once in a lifetime, in our lifetimes, you've never had this happen before. Imagine the egg that is on the Justice Department's face, and in particular Merrick Garland, if this goes south. And remember, you know,
and
the head of the FBI.
And should be. Yeah, I can't stand Trump, but he's a former president of the United States of America. And if there's nothing, and if this is overreach, there should be consequences.
Well, and I agree with you. And I've said before, I believe, and I've said this on the air before, I believe that at some level he's going to be indicted. Now, whether that's good for the country is a whole different discussion. You know, on the one hand, he's not above the law. On the other hand, I'm not sure what it does to this country, given the current state of affairs that we're in. I don't know. But this hitting that house with a search warrant is a very, very big deal. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. There will be at whatever they took out of there, and I believe the reporting is that they spent about 8 hours in there looking at stuff, and they took things out. There will be an inventory of every single thing that they took.
Chet, let me
and
ask you
that
this
inventory.
On that point. So
sure.
Both of the Trump impeachments were complicated and muddy, and, you know, reasonable minds could disagree about this or that. This seems like a pretty open and shut case, whether it was former President Trump or it was me or you. You're not allowed to possess classified top secret documents. If you're in possession of them, you're guilty. Am I missing something?
No, you're not. No. And he, you know, look, you know, the simple explanation is, he stole the documents, okay? He stole the documents out of the White House and took them to Mar-a-Lago, okay? End of that discussion. Now, can you say, well, gee, I didn't know. Well, excuse of the law, that's no excuse. He's deemed to know the law, for God's sake. There'll be evidence, I'm sure, that people told him you can't do this. Then will he say, well, it's mitigated because, you know, I'm trying to give him back. Really? Well, wait a minute. From January until now, you mean to tell me that you gave everything back or there wasn't some discussion or if you believed that you were entitled to have possession of those documents and you were doing so legally? He is so litigious. Are you telling me that he's not going to litigate that point and say, yes, I've got the documents, but I'm not going to give them up because I think I have a right to them? Yeah. And the irony of this, here's a little footnote. The irony of this is that yesterday, when they hit his house with that search warrant, is the very day that Richard Nixon resigned the presidency of the United States back in 1974. And the Presidential Records Act in 1978 was the result of a deal that Gerald Ford struck with Richard Nixon after he resigned on the tapes, the White House tapes that got him almost indicted, and of course he was pardoned. But Ford said, okay, listen, we'll wait, you know, a couple of years, 10 years, whatever it is, and I'll give you all of those tapes back, and you can do with them what you want. You can destroy them. Well, the Congress got the word of that. They said, time out. We are not, these are our records. These are the records of the people of the United States. And that's when they passed the Presidential Records Act of 1978. And Richard Nixon never got those tapes back.
Very interesting. All right, Chet, I'm sure we'll be talking about this later this week, if not tomorrow. Thank you.
You bet.
324 DGS. Go to our new Twitter, which is DGS on KMOX. You can listen to us, obviously, on legendary 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, 102.5 KZK HD2. My favorite is the Audacy app. You can find that in your app store or audacy.com, AUDACY. And it sounds just as good as anything can. Rach.
Dave.
You are suffering from the Snickers paradox.
Well, Snickers recently apologized because they did some online thing with BTS, the K-pop group, where they were saying like, oh, you can register and be a part of this contest and blah, blah, blah. And here's all the different countries that are eligible to enroll. And they included the Taiwanese flag. And people in China noticed this and screenshot it and were like, oh, so you're trying to say that Taiwan is its own country. And Snickers came out, or Mars Candy, I guess, came out and apologized. And they were like, we are so sorry. You're right. They're not their own country. Then they came out and apologized again because the initial apology wasn't good enough. And they were like, you can never separate Taiwan from China. Like, they literally said something to that effect. They were that explicit about it. So I'm looking at it going, man, that is just so lame. I hate it whenever people bend to China's will like that. They obviously put the flag of Taiwan in there for a reason initially, because they want to show people in Taiwan that they're, because they're their own country. A lot of people consider them that way. So I'm getting all mad at Snickers. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to eat a Snickers bar ever again. This is so ridiculous. But then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, man, I haven't had one in a while. And it sounds pretty good. Like, some things are just uncancelable. Like, my beliefs just, you know, I didn't go and get one. But it was the kind of thing where it was almost like a paradox, where it was like, you know, I shouldn't be doing this and I don't want to do this. But just reminding me that that candy bar exists was kind of good press. Like, it kind of made me want one.
Is that called the Streisand effect? When it's like, you like, you're making fun of Barbra Streisand, but you're still like thinking about Barbra Streisand, and it's making her album sales
go up. No, that's not the Streisand. The Streisand effect is whenever you work so hard to cover something up that it actually becomes more of a big deal than it is.
Okay. Okay.
Why did she cover something up?
It was something
called the candy bar effect.
It was something like photos of her house were taken, and I don't remember what the big deal was. But she tried to like squash it, and then that became more of a story than the photos did. Yeah.
That's I thought the Streisand effect was the first time I put on high heels. I guess I'm just being silly. Can you tell me the Hamilton story in a minute?
Yeah, there was a church, I think it was in Texas, but I could be wrong, that put on a production of Hamilton. And you're not supposed to do that. Like, if you don't own rights to musicals, you're not supposed to take part in stuff like that. But since they're a church, they have special protections where they're able to do a production. They're just not allowed to stream it or sell it or anything like that. Well, they still decided to stream it, so they broke rule number one. And then rule number two was, Hamilton is supposed to be this like super inclusive play, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is like very into social justice and is an ally to the LGBTQ community. And this church made Hamilton, which is not a religious play at all, like, they turned it into a religious play. And they're like, if you are struggling with the sin of homosexuality, God can help you through.
Oh,
like, in the middle of Hamilton.
Oh, my God. Like,
and, like, just adding in little parts where they're like, I'm going to pray, in the original play where it doesn't exist. Yeah. So people saw that they did this and they got mad, and they wrote to him, the, you know, the creators of Hamilton, and now it's this huge nationwide story, which I kind of don't get why it's that big of a deal. I mean, just
like,
send up a
else.
Cease and desist or something and get it over with. Yeah. But people are acting like it's just the worst thing that's
people
ever happened.
People are accusing them of violating the First Amendment and violating their right to exercise their religion, which is about as dumb as you get.
Well, there's still copyright laws and
right.
things like
well,
that.
Also, they're not Congress. Like, it's,
right.
But Hamilton can't abridge your religious freedom. Just Welcome back, guys. DGS, quite a lineup today. 3:35 on the dot. We welcome back to the show our good friend, Senator Jim Talent. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, Dave. How are you?
Good. So I was on vacation last week and tried to avoid the news, but I was just fascinated by the whole Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan, and I almost texted you. I wanted to see what you thought of it. I found it so interesting because it made for strange bedfellows. A lot of people on Fox News, a lot of the very conservative pundits were like, look, I can't believe I'm saying this, but good for Nancy Pelosi. She's the only one standing up to China. And Joe Biden tried to get her to not go, and he's projecting weakness and she looks strong. I wasn't quite sure how to feel about it. So how did it hit you?
Well, these kind of congressional visits to Taiwan are not unusual. Bob Menendez, who chairs the Foreign Affairs Committee, took a delegation there, I believe it was in April, so it was only a few months ago. It doesn't really matter whether she chose to go or not, but having decided to go, then she could not back down because the Chinese threatened. And so she did the right thing in going. And the administration should have avoided any suggestion that they were trying to keep her from going, because we can't let the Chinese dictate where our public officials are going to travel. So I was glad she went. I thought the comment about, you know, when I was a kid, I thought you could dig a hole to China. I can't decide whether it was funny or just very weird.
What about?
But yeah, I'm glad when once it surfaced that she was considering going and the Chinese threatened the way they did, particularly since Xi Jinping got involved in it personally, she had to go.
Yeah, what about that? Because China being China, they're big smack talkers, and they talked a big amount of smack, and then they launched a few, you know, missiles toward Taiwan and surrounded them, which is not great. But I was reading how a lot of people in China were thought it was kind of a limp response, that they didn't really put their money where their mouth was.
Yeah, well, and listen, they fly fighters across the median line and shoot missiles all the time. So you're saying, well, we can't go because they'll cross the median line. Well, they do it all the time, right? I mean, the problem isn't that. The problem is, just to take one example, we're outnumbered 5-1 in naval vessels west of Hawaii. In other words, we're outgunned and outmanned in the region. So, you know, that's the difficulty is the underlying power dynamics, not their the threats or the military flights that they engage in.
So I just always believed the hype and the propaganda, and I read too many Tom Clancy novels, and I just never, ever thought there was anyone who could match the United States. Certainly no one who we would look at and say, I think they got us. But everything I'm reading is saying that China has caught us and maybe passed us militarily.
Yeah, I wrote a column, I believe it was 8 years ago, that in my opinion, by then, China had become the dominant power in the East and South China Sea because they've been engaged in a 25-year buildup of forces. The two most specific purposes of which, and they're linked, is to give them the capacity to invade Taiwan even against the opposition of the United States, and to give them the ability to exclude American naval and air power from the region. That's why they've developed this enormous missile-centric military, which is by far the biggest in the world and in history. Because, you see, the surface-striking power of the United States Navy is focused and concentrated in its aircraft carrier task forces, and their missiles outrange our fighters. So the problem is, can the ships get close enough to intervene in an attempted invasion of Taiwan? And it's a very, very dicey question now. Now, we are trying to develop counters to that. The Trump administration did a lot along those lines, but we're late in the day, and that's the difficulty.
So, Jim,
there are some of us who've warned about this for a long time, Dave.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think
I couldn't resist saying that.
And I think a lot of people in D.C. were like me, like, oh, a bunch of Chicken Littles and the sky's falling and we're and here we are. So last night.
Yeah, that's fine, Dave, but you're not in the Congress. I mean, you're entitled to that.
Yes.
I mean, this is not your job.
Yes.
It's their job to prepare the American Armed Forces to defend the American homeland and our vital national interests. Okay, now that doesn't mean Taiwan's not a treaty ally. We're not committed to defend them, but it would be an enormous strategic forfeiture, a defeat. There's no other way to describe it. Were the Chinese able to coerce Taiwan the way they did with Hong Kong? I mean, it would hold the potential to break up our alliances in the Far East. And remember, half the world's shipping goes through the South China Sea.
Mm-hmm.
The next step, if they get Taiwan, is to tell us, which they already claim the right to do, when we can ship, what markets we can serve. You know, that's not something we tolerate.
Okay.
Going back to the War of 1812.
So just, you know, I know there's no way that you actually know this, but I want your gut. Is there any real chance that we don't have some sort of armed conflict with China in the next, say, 20 years?
Yes. I think even at this date, if we will show the will to defend, it's like John Foster Dulles said about Berlin. He said, if we're ready to defend Berlin, we won't have to. He said that in the 50s. So what we could do right now, for example, is harden the targets. So Anderson Air Force Base on Guam is within the range of their missiles. If we harden that target so they weren't certain they could take out the airfield so our airplanes couldn't fly, that would be really good to do. We need better ISR, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. If we got long-range cruise missiles based in the region, then we could put their assets at risk. An amphibious invasion is extremely difficult. The Chinese are not 10 feet tall. So there are things we could do on a crash basis But the administration is not showing the kind of purpose and urgency that we need to show, which then creates in the Chinese mind the question, well, if they're not preparing to defend, they won't defend, and that increases the risk of war.
And, Jim, I want to get your thoughts before I let you go on the FBI executing a search warrant, basically raiding the former president's home last night.
Yeah, well, it has the earmarks. I've been reading some articles of a fishing expedition. I mean, it's the classified material thing, isn't it? I mean, I could give you lists of people. They haven't taken that seriously. I mean, they didn't seize Hillary Clinton's server, and she did have classified emails on that. There's a guy named Sandy Berger, who in 2003 was Clinton's former national security advisor. He was in the National Archives, and he took classified material, stuffed it in his pants and his socks, and walked. I mean, it was a blatant case.
Remember that.
Yeah, he was charged with a misdemeanor. He didn't even lose. He lost his security clearance for 3 years. Big deal. Okay, so that's not what this is about. And that if that's the pretext for this, and they're just doing a fishing expedition, they shouldn't do that to any American, you know, much less the former president, because of, obviously, it sets a terrible precedent. What does it look like? And he's a potential candidate. So we're going to use the FBI to try and get something on him. I think we have to see. But I don't trust the Bureau anymore. I've said it on this show, and I mourn it that. I'd have said 5 years ago, look, there has to be something here we're not seeing, because they wouldn't do it otherwise. And I cannot say that to you now.
Boy, we have lost confidence in so many areas of our government. That's just so sad.
Well, there was a cabal at the top of the FBI that engineered that whole Operation Crossfire thing and caused the 2-year Mueller investigation, and we know there was nothing to it. They lied to the FISA court to get search warrants on Carter Page. You know, sometimes I say to people, yeah, I don't like what they're doing to Trump, but I dislike more what they did to Carter Page. This guy is just, I mean, he's he's a part of the national security world. He's an upfront guy. And they illegally surveilled him, hoping to get some evidence on Trump, I guess. And he's an American, you know, this shouldn't happen.
So, Jim, what could they be fishing for? If you think that this is a fishing expedition, what sort of genres could they be looking?
They're trying to dig up some connection between Trump and the January 6th riot. To prove a crime against him. It's one thing to attack him politically for how he handled it. They've been doing that for 2 years. I mean, I'm getting tired of it, but I get that. But to use the premier law enforcement agency of the federal government, they better have something more than just hope. And we'll see. Okay. Otherwise, I think this is going to backfire on him. And I read a column this morning that said Chris Wray may be the last FBI director. I mean, people are getting sick of this. And though right now it's serving the ends of one part of the political spectrum, I can tell you people don't like this when the Bureau does this. They know that what goes around can come around. So, we'll see. As I said, I don't know. We haven't seen the warrant. I'd like to know whether Garland signed off on it. It doesn't look good, and they need to have very firm protocols for when they engage in a politically sensitive investigation. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody's above the law because they're a former president.
Yeah.
But it's very concerning.
And also, Jim, as someone who does not like President Trump, as you know, mm-hmm. what a giant blunder politically on the side of the left, whether it's Merrick Garland or Biden or whoever, if they just kind of took a flyer on this, because this could be what gets Trump reelected if they end up with a goose egg.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, we can all talk about the politics of it. But if you are upset about somebody or you don't like somebody, they don't like Trump because they think he does not respect the norms of a constitutional democracy, then you can't go after him in a way that violates all the norms of a constitutional democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you can't complain about an alleged violation of the rules when you're violating the rules all the time. Because what that shows is you're not really sincere about what you say you're concerned about. So, again, we'll see. But if it was just the classified stuff, that should be handled, I mean, in negotiations and all of that. I mean, it's just that by itself, I can't see how that could justify this. So,
okay. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Oh, what I would give to have the last 4 minutes of my life back. That was interesting. Talking about what drugs we've seen and not seen. And
we sounded like idiots.
Yeah, we really
most
did.
Most of us. We're like, because none of us have really done anything. Isn't it like come in this form? I
except
don't know.
One of us who's a huge drug addict. So we're not going to say which one that is.
You guess.
Only one of us seemed cool. The rest of us were dorks.
Oh, stop it. That's me. I just insulted you all and insulted myself at the same time.
Wait, cool? I'm the cool one.
I've never seen them. Except on TV.
Yeah, same. Speaking of drugs, did you see that General Mills is bringing back my beloved Count Chocula?
Yes. Oh, I didn't know he was gone.
I thought for a second you were talking like about General Millie. Like that was in my head, and I was like, wait, what? Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I want her to eat M&Ms or not eat M&Ms, because you're different.
Those are her drugs.
Yeah, you're different.
Count Chocula.
Here comes Mark Milley.
I think it should make a comeback.
I'm here to announce Boo Berry's back. Frankenberry, gonna be next.
I didn't know that the count was out.
I don't know why that was funny.
Down for the count.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't either. I guess I assumed he was somewhere at some Piggly Wiggly.
Did you see that they're already like, oh, guys, we're going to do everything we can to bring back the Choco Taco.
Oh.
Didn't you just see that coming as soon as they said they were going to discontinue it?
On this one, it's okay because it worked on me bad.
It worked the second time. We didn't even hear about the first time.
I got physically angry on vacation because I was going through my phone looking at the news and I see a picture of the Choco Taco and it said, it's back. And I'm like, whoa. And I looked it up and it was a restaurant. It's like, we got it. It's like,
oh, shut up. No, you don't. You don't have the Choco Taco.
Bastards.
I'm mad at Taco Bell for saying that the Mexican pizza's back. And then I tried to get it a few weeks ago. And they said, oh, no, it's gone again.
Yeah, it was back for like 3 weeks.
It's coming back for good on September 15th.
Oh, did I ruin one of your headlines?
No, it's okay. We can rehash it.
I might go buy that one today because he said we're hoping sometimes in October. And maybe I'll take that piece of paper.
No, September 15th.
Yeah, but the guys at Taco Bell told me.
You're just going to shove it in their face.
Yeah, like, oh, we hope to have it back by October. I'm going to give them the new date.
Boy, there's some Taco Bell employee out there that has no idea what's coming their way.
She's unfolding the paper like, I just wanted you to see.
Something wicked this way comes.
Ma'am, this is a Word document.
They're looking
into anyone could have typed this.
Looking into closed circuit camera like, oh God, it's her. It's Karen.
The Mexican pizza Karen.
Taco Bell Karen. Where's the bell beefer?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.